It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we have overcast skies. It is 53 degrees. At the airport, they are showing 93% humidity, east winds at 6 miles per hour, and 8 miles of visibility. They're saying it's a 50% chance of rain for the rest of the day today and just a 30% chance of rain for the next 2 days. Rain seems likely for Saturday and Sunday, though. Coming up on the Midday Report, Alaska education leaders react to the vetoing of funds by Governor Dunleavy. Ketchikan summer campers are learning about Filipino culture and dance steps. And the community of King Cove is experiencing more headaches in their attempt to build a road. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The international search for the submersible Titan is intensifying. Teams are focused on an area in the North Atlantic where they've picked up noises, but officials caution that it could be anything. By all estimates, the Titan's oxygen supply is expected to run out tomorrow. The Titan was on an expedition to see the wreckage of the Titanic when communication ceased Sunday. A massive emergency response is underway in central Paris. A powerful explosion erupted in a historic part of the French capital today. Authorities say might have been caused by a gas leak, but they're still investigating. The Paris newspaper Le Monde is reporting at least 29 people were injured, and as the BBC's Hugh Schofield reports, two people are still unaccounted for since the explosion several hours ago.
At around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a huge explosion was heard on the Rue Saint-Jacques, which runs south from the Latin Quarter on Paris's left bank. A building next to the 17th century Val de Grasse Church was consumed in flames, and much of it appears to have collapsed. According to witnesses on French media, there was a strong smell of gas just before the blast. The building housed an international design school and the headquarters of the Catholic education system.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield reporting. At a gathering in London, the U.S. and other allies of Ukraine are promising billions of dollars in aid to help the country recover and prepare to eventually join the European Union. We have the latest from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says as Russia continues to try to destroy Ukraine, the U.S. and its partners will be there to help rebuild. He's also reassuring representatives of more than 60 countries that Russia will ultimately have to pay.
Let's be clear. Russia is causing Ukraine's destruction. And Russia will eventually bear the cost of Ukraine's reconstruction.
The World Bank has estimated that it will cost more than $400 billion to fix Ukraine's infrastructure and rebuild. That estimate is rising by the day as Russia continues to bombard Ukraine. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell warns that interest rates are likely to go higher this year as the central bank tries to control inflation. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on Powell's testimony today before a House committee.
Inflation has come down from a four-decade high last summer, but prices are still climbing about twice as fast as the central bank would like. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell told a House committee he and his colleagues are determined to get inflation back down to their target of 2%. Powell acknowledged that process still has a long way to go.
Inflation has consistently surprised us and essentially all other forecasters by being more persistent than expected.
While Fed policymakers opted to hold interest rates steady when they met last week, Powell says most members of the rate-setting committee think additional rate hikes will be necessary this year in order to get prices under control. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News. The Federal Trade Commission confirms it is suing Amazon. It accuses the e-commerce giant of engaging for years in manipulative tactics known as dark patterns. In a court filing, the FTC alleges Amazon enrolled customers without their permission into its Prime program and then made it difficult for people to cancel that service. Amazon says in a statement that the FTC's claims are, quote, false on the facts and the law. Amazon is a financial supporter of NPR. The summer solstice arrived today, but millions of people have already been feeling intense summer heat in the United States. Here's NPR's Bill Chappell.
People in Texas and neighboring states are enduring heat index values of 110 degrees and higher, setting records in what the National Weather Service says is, quote, never-ending excessive heat. The Weather Service used the word excessive 7 times in Wednesday's forecast, describing heat in the south and also heavy rainfall that raised flood alerts in the southeast. 2 long-term patterns could make this summer a tough one. Climate change is making dangerous heat waves more likely, and an El Niño pattern of warm sea temperatures could amplify weather extremes. Forecasters say South Texas could see temperatures ease a bit this week, but it will get hotter again this weekend and stay that way through the end of the month. Bill Chappell, NPR News.
U.S. stocks end the day lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closes down more than 100 points to settle at 33,951. The Nasdaq was down 165 points, or 1.2%. It's NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Workday, an enterprise management cloud focused on providing organizations with a system to continuously plan for all what-if scenarios. Workday, the finance, HR, and planning system for a changing world.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Alaska education leaders expressed disappointment on Tuesday in Governor Mike Dunleavy's decision to veto a one-time increase in public school funding. Monday's vetoes from the governor were directed at Alaska's public schools more than any other state department, totaling over $108 million in reductions to the Department of Education alone. Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss says that Dunleavy's veto creates a revenue shortfall for the district of $750,000.
And it's very discouraging to constantly have to be begging, really, for the basic necessities to have high-functioning schools. So it is really disheartening, and I know our teachers are feeling that as well.
Weiss is retiring as Juneau superintendent this year, but questioned the long-term impacts of the governor's cuts to education funding. Officials for both the Anchorage and Mat-Su school districts say the vetoes won't impact their budgets for the coming school year, but will be factored into the fiscal 2025 budget. Mat-Su Superintendent Randy Traney says that the veto could result in cuts to programs or an increase in class sizes. He says overall, he's concerned about the message the governor's vetoes send to educators.
A budget reflects your priority, and I'm worried that K-12 education isn't the priority right now.
Besides the one-time public school funding veto, 6 line-item vetoes targeted public education, including the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program, the Head Start Program, and school maintenance. The Eastern Aleutian community of King Cove has wanted to build a road to the all-weather airstrip in Cold Bay for decades, but different conservation groups have pushed back because the road would pass through a national wildlife sanctuary. On Thursday, the road hit yet another speed bump. KUCB's Theo Greenlee reports.
The decades-long saga over the King Cove Road continues. Lawyers for the Eastern Aleutian community are pushing back against a Thursday court decision that effectively lets the U.S. government pull out of a land swap that would allow construction of the road. But let's back up a second. Here's the context. First off, what is the King Cove Road? Well, King Cove is a community of about 750 people in the Aleutians East Borough. They're on the Alaska Peninsula, about 18 miles from Cold Bay. Cold Bay has a big all-weather airport. King Cove doesn't. And that's a big problem when it comes to things like medical evacuations. There's no hospital in either community, so they need to send folks to Anchorage for emergencies. And that's not always possible in King Cove, because their small airstrip means that planes can't fly in inclement weather. The corporation says that since 1980, there have been dozens of deaths associated with the lack of land access, either due to plane crashes or an inability to reach timely medical treatment. And they say there have been more than 200 medical evacuations from King Cove in the last decade. So the community wants to build a gravel road to Cold Bay so they have access to that all-weather airport. But the problem is that the 11-mile road would have to cut through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. The refuge was established in 1980 and is home to one of the world's largest eelgrass beds. So that led conservation groups to push against the road's construction. Okay, that's the background. Here's where we are now. The Trump administration agreed to a land swap in 2019 that would allow construction of the road. They would trade part of the federally managed land in Eisenbeck to the King Cove Corporation in exchange for another area of land that would then be preserved. The idea was that it would allow the road to cut through Eisenbeck, but it would preserve other land of the same size. Well, even though the swap was approved, when the Biden administration came in, the new Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, said they wouldn't go through with it, and they pulled out of the agreement this March. Now, that led to a lot of courtroom back and forth. King Cove's lawyer said you can't do that. The Department of the Interior said, yes, we can. And eventually, the case was brought to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Both sides argued in front of a special appointment of judges because it was too legally complicated for just one judge. And last week, the court sided with the Department of the Interior. The court said the land exchange couldn't be enforced and the deal was off. That brings us to today. The lawyers for King Cove argue that the land exchange is still valid. They say the agreement can only change if a future court rules favorably on the decision to withdraw and that they couldn't just dismiss the motion in court. In any case, they say they will continue fighting for the road. The Aleut Corporation, which covers the entire Aleutian region, is also pushing for the road. And although the Department of the Interior pulled out of this particular land swap, it says it's looking into alternatives. Reporting from the Aleutians, I'm Theo Greenlee.
At least one major oncology center in Alaska is starting to ration their supply of two popular chemotherapy drugs. Cisplatin and carboplatin are in short supply nationally. At Alaska Women's Cancer Care in Anchorage, they've reduced each patient's treatments by 20%. And as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, they're hoping they won't need to ration further.
Elizabeth Arnold was diagnosed with advanced uterine cancer a month and a half ago.
People ask me if I'm depressed, and I say, no, I'm not depressed, I'm just terrified. You know, your whole world stops.
She started her first round of chemotherapy at Providence, Alaska in Anchorage a week after her diagnosis. But after that treatment, her doctor called her to tell her about the chemotherapy drug shortages. Arnold says the stress of that piled onto the terror that she was experiencing from her diagnosis.
On top of it, to be told that the drugs that you need that are both life-saving and, in my case, life-prolonging, are in a shortage, it's just like a double whammy.
Cisplatin and carboplatin are generic drugs that can be used for several different types of cancer. They're frontline treatments for Dr. Melissa Hardesty, a gynecologic oncologist at Alaska Women's Cancer Care in Anchorage. Her clinic's drug supply, like the rest of the state, has been determined week to week. They chose to shift all their existing patients to a chemotherapy plan with 20% fewer sessions, so no one would be denied treatment, and they can't take on new patients for those treatments. Hardesty says she's worried.
Right now, as of today, the second, I have no cisplatinum in-house. So if I have a new cervix cancer patient show up, I'm essentially going to be extrapolating from other things to treat that person.
Cisplatin and carboplatin are two of the most widely used chemotherapy drugs. And while Hardesty acknowledges that drug shortages are becoming more common in recent years, she sees this shortage as different.
you know, to make a grocery analogy, we're out of milk and cheese and butter. You know, we've got the saffron flowers in the jar, and I've got some kale or something, but I'm out of the staples.
Cisplatin and carboplatin are both on the World Health Organization's list of essential cancer medications, and they're inexpensive. A bag of one of them costs around $14 to $16. That's a fraction of the price of some of the more expensive chemotherapy drugs that are still patented. Those can cost upwards of $100,000 for a round of treatment. So experts say there's little financial incentive for U.S. pharmaceutical manufacturers to produce cheaper drugs or step in when there are shortages. Cisplatin and carboplatin are in short supply because a producer in India shut down after failing an FDA inspection. According to the American Society of Health System Pharmacists, the shortage of carboplatin should start to ease in late June, cisplatin in mid-July, but there are no guarantees. Hardesty sees these production issues as a reason for the U.S. government to step up.
There has to be another way to secure a supply line for these critical medications. We have to keep a national stockpile or have some other supplement that would allow pharmaceutical manufacturers to make these agents and pay their staff a living wage.
Hardesty says she treated a patient who flew into Anchorage from Fairbanks because they couldn't get carboplatin locally that week. And one of her newly diagnosed patients returned to her country of origin to get treatment due to the shortage. But for those who can access it, Hardesty says carboplatin and cisplatin are highly effective. Elizabeth Arnold has had 3 rounds of chemotherapy, which include carboplatin. She says it's clear her treatments are working.
You know, there's these numbers that tell you if it's working or not. It's called CA125. It's a cancer marker. And my numbers have really dropped since after each chemo session.
Arnold is done with her current round of chemotherapy with another planned for late summer or fall. If the shortage gets worse, Providence says it will prioritize kids, people in earlier stages of cancer, and cases that would likely be cured by treatment. Because of that, Arnold isn't confident she'll have access to carboplatin when she needs it again.
I'm at the end of the list. I mean, I'm an older person and I'm advanced, and so rationing, I'm kind of at the end of the list, so that's also quite terrifying.
Arnold has another few months to wait and see if the carboplatin supply is rebound. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Ketchikan summer campers are spending time each week learning about Filipino culture. KRBD's Reagan Miller stopped by camp on Tuesday to watch the kids practice their traditional dance steps in the sunshine.
Dozens of feet clad in flip-flops, Crocs, and sneakers pounded the wooden deck of Ketchikan Charter School. Kids clapped out a beat for their friends as they weaved their steps across the pattern on the floor. It's the type of day many in Ketchikan would call a scorcher, and the kids who signed up for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Recreation Center summer camp are having some fun in the sun. For weeks, they've been learning the traditional Filipino dance tinikling. Alma Manabat Parker is the health equity coordinator at the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. She's also the director of Magsayawan Ketchikan, a project under the coalition's Strengthening Cultural Unity Task Force. She's coaching the campers through various moves.
Ready, you're gonna go in, hop in 2 times. Go in, hop, and then cross.
They've been building their skills each week. McKenna Johansson is one of the camp's lead counselors. She says these sessions are a regular part of camp Monday through Thursday.
It's been great to see them. Just they all have fun during culture, and they're always coming back and saying, oh my gosh, we did this today, and this was so much fun, and they love doing the dancing portion of it. And they, like, will go down to recess and practice it down there, and they're just talking about it until the next week, and they get to do it again.
And it's more than the dancing, too. There are stories and music, and the kids are learning to count in Tagalog. The lessons are funded by the Alaska State Council on the Arts. Ruby Coomer will be a fourth grader when school starts back up. She says she's enjoying the weekly visits.
Well, it's just when you get good at it, you can just not even have to, you can just go unconsciousness and just go and just follow your steps.
Coomer says she's not a dancer, but she still finds joy in the lessons.
It inspires me a lot, though.
Another camper, Leah Estrada, says she's been learning about the history of the Philippines and about the country's culture.
They're very authentic and they love dance.
Next week, students will start practicing with the bamboo sticks that play a big role in the traditional dance. But for now, they're putting it all together. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell suggests further interest rate hikes are all but inevitable. I'm Nova Sapo with a Marketplace Minute. Powell says nearly all policymakers at the Fed think more rate hikes will be necessary by the end of the year. In testimony at a House hearing today, he said inflation has a long way to go to decline to the target rate of 2%. A European business group says foreign companies are increasingly moving their Asian headquarters out of China, in part because of a decline in confidence over economic growth there and concerns over government crackdowns on foreign firms. MasterCard is launching a recycling program to shred and reuse the plastic in credit cards. The payments company has 3 billion of them in circulation. HSBC is its initial partner. I'm Nova Sapo with the Marketplace Minute.
Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 21st day of 2023, of June in 2023. The sun rose today at 5:07. It will set again at 11:14, giving us 18 hours and 7 minutes, and that's all we're going to get. Rises tomorrow at 5:08. That is a gain of 1 second compared to yesterday. 53 degrees in Kodiak under mostly cloudy skies. Pretty pleasant out there right now with a little mist hanging around the mountains. At the airport, they are showing east winds to 6 miles per hour. They have 8 miles of visibility, and they are at 93% humidity. Look for a 50-50 chance of rain for the rest of the afternoon with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 56. Calm winds turning to the east to 5, and those mellow easterly winds are expected to continue through tomorrow, turning to the southeast to 5 tomorrow night. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up. That will happen at 5:41 this afternoon here on the east side and be 6.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:40 tonight of 3 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 5:52 this afternoon and be 11.3 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 11:25 p.m. of 4.8 feet. Well, let's listen to the brand new ADFNG report.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 7. Date issued 10 a.m. on June 21st. The inner Katoy Bay section of the Afognak District will close to commercial salmon fishing at 9 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd. Closed waters are reduced in the following locations until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd. In inner Katoy Bay to the fishing game markers at Little Katoy and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252, 323, and 252, 324. As previously announced, there will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, June 21st until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd in the following areas. In the northwest Afognak, Paul's Bay and Paranosa Bay sections of the Afognak District, in the east side Kodiak District, and the Big River and Outer Kukak Bay sections of the mainland district. The following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd. The Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District, the Outer Carlock section of the Southwest Kodiak District and the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District and the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District. Closed waters are reduced until 9 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd in the following areas: at Kaflia Creek, stream number 262301 to the stream terminus, and at Sultry Creek, stream number 259415 to the stream terminus. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Iduit Bay sections of the Afognak District, and the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area, and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are reduced in the following locations until further notice: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406, and in Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822, and to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts. Harvest strategies and Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Wednesday, June 21st, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having a special meeting in the Kodiak Island Borough Conference Room at 5:15 p.m. Also on Wednesday, June 21st, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. The Assembly work session that was planned for June 29th has been canceled. All meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, assembly meetings are live-streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. Subscribe to get live-stream notifications. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles offshore. Prevail winds to 10 today and seas to 4 feet. Same exact forecast for tonight and tomorrow. For Thursday night, variable 10, seas to 3 feet. Nice weather in the Shelikof 2 with northeast 20, seas to 5 feet. Northeast 15 tonight, seas to 3 feet. And for Thursday and Thursday night, variable 10, seas to 2 feet. Today at 6:30 at the Balanced Approach, they are having an LGBTQ-friendly restorative yoga class. It's a fun LGBTQ-plus-friendly exercise class with donations for the Kodiak Pride taken at the door. Also on Thursday, that's tomorrow at 7 p.m., there will be a Pride Performance and Confidence Building class, also at a Balanced Approach. If you're interested in performing or just want to build your confidence, join Hazel as she teaches you the basics of all things performance-related and how to build your confidence while freely being your best self. And don't forget the Pride Zumba and Margaritas at Bernie's Bar. That's happening Friday. Starts at 6 p.m. Check in at 6 p.m. The event starts at 7 at Bernie's Bar. It is for ages 21 years older and up. Again, that's Friday. Check in at 6 p.m. at Bernie's. The Rainbow Run is happening. It's sponsored by the Kodiak Arts Council and the Shunack Tribe. That's happening on Saturday. Registration begins at 9:30, and it's held in the high school parking lot. That's where it begins. The 5K will start at 10. The 1 mile start at 10:15. And there's a color run option this year. Run or walk, start and finish at the KHS parking lot. So it starts and finishes at the high school parking lot. And don't forget the post-race celebration immediately following, including DJ Mark and his Rebo Spin family-friendly drag show in the auditorium. Please bring a change of clothes if you're going to be running or something to sit on. So if you do decide to do the color run and then attend the show, they don't get the auditorium seats all dirty. The event is free to the public and donations will be accepted. Again, that all starts at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday at the high school parking lot. And there'll be an LGBTQ plus trivia night. That's sponsored by the Shunack Tribe at the Shunack Tribe Bingo Hall on Sunday. Doors open at 3:30 in the afternoon. Trivia begins at 4. And don't forget about the Kodiak City Council's regular meeting that will be held on Thursday. It will be held at 7:30 p.m. in the library's multipurpose room. It's open to the public, and the public members are also encouraged to listen in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM. The meeting will also be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available at the City of Kodiak website. If you need more information, contact the City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. The library's escape room is open for the summer. Daily time slots are available except for Mondays. Call now to check availability and reserve your spot. Open to all ages, but children under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. They do recommend groups of four. Call the library at 907-486-8686 to reserve your spot. And of course, don't forget about Lego Club, 3:30 on Wednesdays. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. 3:30 p.m. today, Lego Club.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.